First year was roughly, you know, 2,300 to 20,000. Then the next year after that was around 20,000 up towards around 75,000. And then we started getting into the six-figure years around year three.
So today on the podcast, I got Sean with Deck Mark Trading. He's got a YouTube channel. He's the founder of Tradecast and he's blowing up everywhere. Happy to have him on the podcast. Happy to dive into his story and hear about his whole journey. So thanks for being here, Sean.
Hey, thank you so much. I definitely appreciate it. You know, reach out to me and being able to put this together. You know, you have a lot of awesome content on your YouTube and, you know, shout out to you. So will you be crushing it as well?
Yeah. So we were just talking about, I appreciate the comment, but we were talking about businesses, like you get lucky, one blows up and you start crushing it from that. So I kind of want to tailgate off that question. Like you've been working on your business. Can you explain that and kind of talk through the journey of that?
Yeah. So business that I run is Tradecaster. Tradecaster is, it's a website where you can log on and essentially it is the YouTube for stock traders. It's the Twitch of stock traders where you're not just logging on and you're able to go to a Discord and a chat room. Something that, you know, I don't want to kind of throw any sort of shade in any sort of way, but a lot of times when people are paying for these Discords, I feel like they're just sitting there and they're just waiting for alerts to be handed to them. And they're not gaining any value from that. Everyone I understand wants to be able to make money. Everyone wants to be able to be a successful stock trader. And people look up to people that they see online and social media and have big followings. And they just say, okay, I'm going to just want to be able to work with this guy. But sitting and waiting in a chat and just saying to myself, whenever he alerts something, that's what I'm going to buy. That's not turning you into a full-time stock trader. That's just turning you into a follower waiting for you to get in after someone else already posts an alert. So the whole point of Tradecaster is essentially is going to be actually teaching you, not just trading in front of you, but actually trading side by side with you, which is where I live stream every single day in real time, where I want to do lessons, do live trades, see my mistakes, see my wins, see and be able to show you everything. I personally am a huge visual learner, just like I assume probably 90% of other people are visual learners, where we can actually break down, give you again the tools that you need to be successful. And it's not just myself. There's other traders there, traders that are new traders, traders that are Forex traders that are crypto traders that are trading options, penny stocks. It's great. And I think it's awesome for people to be able to learn from myself and also be able to take the things that they learn from me and then apply it to what they learn from other traders. Because what works for me and my trading strategy may not work for everyone because we may have different risk tolerances. We may have different account sizes. We may trade at different times. We have all these different things that happen in our lives that you want to be able to build your own strategy. Sure, fundamentals are the same and core fundamentals is what it's all about in trading, but go ahead and be able to figure out what's the best way to trade for yourself. I always tell traders, like, trading is almost like playing different sports. Some people are amazing at football, but some people stink at football, but they could be an amazing tennis player, or maybe they stink at tennis and are a great bowler. So if you are a person that's just saying, oh, I just want to buy and hold, that may not be a trader for you, you know, that, or a strategy for you. There was an email that I got one time where a guy said to me, hey, Sean, I start with a $50,000 account. Every time I buy a stock, it just goes in the opposite direction. Literally every single time I buy a stock, it just falls. And I said, well, how about you keep doing exactly everything the same, but just start shorting, start doing put contracts, whatever you want to do in that manner. He hit me up 2 weeks later and said, I've been able to make all my money back plus $15,000. So it's like a lot of people always think we just buy stocks and we hold stocks. But that's not really the case, is it? We can really, again, be able to adjust our strategy from buying to shorting, to swing trading, to bounce trading, to earnings reports, to anything that we can really discover in the stock market. So, you know, Tradecaster, what it really comes down to is it's a community to be able to learn, to be able to educate, and to be able to push yourself up to the next level.
Yeah, I love that idea. I think, like, we're getting to this place in the economy where, like, the Discords are, there's too many of them. So the big value is behind multiple teachers like you have. You can hop on, learn your strategy from someone else and learn something new from like the Forex guy in the group. So if I want to get on and start this process, Sean, like it's free for this month, but I pay for it. I get all these teachers in the future. How's that work?
Yes, correct. So it comes out to about $4 a day. And with $4 a day, you get access to my live stream. upwards of 8 other live teachers that are trading every single day as well. And then we have over 300 videos in our video library, and you have access to absolutely everything. So this is not something that I want to charge an arm and a leg for. Obviously, to be able to pay out our live streamers and everything along those lines, they do put in excellent work. They bring in value. I'm not going to sit here and just say everything is absolutely free at all times, but we have this entire month 100% free because I want to show how great it is. And I can understand that in a world today where people probably have tried a Discord before and they have tried again some chat where they had a very bad experience, it's very tough to trust someone. It's very tough to go through an experience and then say to yourself, hey, you know what? I'm going to try this out and I'm going to try this out. Because a lot of new traders probably tried one little chat, one Discord that wasn't there for the right reasons. And they say, I'm over this. Trading's a scam. That's dumb. That's worth it. So I want to just drop everything. And I dropped everything all of March. And I just said, hey guys, doors are open. Try us on out. I promise again, you're going to see what you want, what your goal was as a trader to be able to learn and actually be able to find a community. And that's what we've done throughout all of March so far.
Yeah, dude, that's incredible. So yeah, if anyone wants to hop in, hopefully we'll post this podcast before March is over, but that's huge. Yeah, I just went on today, watched 2 streamers in the last hour, and there's like 8 more that stream apparently in the morning. So if you're like a new trader and you don't have a strategy, like how do you build yourself up in this system? Like, is there like a step-by-step guide? And then I hop on your stream and you teach me live like that strategy?
Yeah. So honestly, the best thing that you can do, or I'm not going to say the best thing that you can do, but the way that I learned how to trade was trial and error. Now, trial and error, you're going to make mistakes. Now, this is going to probably sound like the worst pep talk in the world. And I say this to, again, our traders in the chat room, but when you first start stock trading, you're not going to be good. You are going to be a very bad stock trader when you first start stock trading. And that's not going meaning to insult you. That's not trying to bring you down. But if you never played basketball before, you're not going to be a good basketball player. If you never lifted weights before, you're not going to be able to lift a lot. And if you've never studied, let's say, medical fields, you're not going to be all of a sudden a magic, you know, great surgeon. Everything that you want to be successful in life is going to take time. It's going to take days. It's going to take weeks. It's going to take months. It's going to take years before you perfect that craft. But I don't know where it goes down the line in social media or through the internet that we can just open up an account, start trading right away, and we're just going to automatically be successful at it. That's not how stock trading works. And I feel like most people end up losing their accounts before their trading career starts. So I am a person that always says paper trade first. Then you get that critic that comes on out that says, well, no, paper trading's not for me. Paper trading's not for me. I don't have any skin in the game. I got no emotions in it. I trade differently. Yeah. But the thing is, paper trading is not supposed to build up your emotion. It's supposed to build up your experience. Just like, again, you know, if we had wanted to become a fighter pilot, we have to be in the simulator first. You don't want to just go walk up to the Air Force and say, yeah, I just want to be in one of those cool like F-18s right away. I want to go right into that. You have to start on the simulator, then start on a small plane, then work yourself up probably over 2 to 3 years before you even get to fly those cool things. Stock trading should be no different. You don't just open up a $50,000 account and expect to make $1 million. You have to go through the process of understanding what a chart is, what a candle is, how, again, psychology works. So you are going to lose when you first start, which is common sense. You should understand that. So why don't we lose fake money when we first start? Then from there, once we build the experience, then we go to part 2, which is building up the emotion. And that's where we have a small account and we could slowly build our tolerance on up. Just like we went to the weight room and we want to start benching, we start with the bar. Then maybe a week goes by, we could put on 10 pounds on each side. Then as months go by, we could put 45 pounds. Then again, as it goes by, we put more and more and more weight. But the thing is, we don't just start with 300 pounds. People go from simulator to all of a sudden main money, but they do way too much, way too soon. And then now they're hyperventilating, their adrenaline's pumping. And they're saying to themselves, oh, wow, well, paper trading didn't help me at all. Well, no, you just went from the opposite, you know, 0 to 100 way too quick. Go from 0 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 to 40, build up a tolerance, slowly work yourself into it. I always say you want to have a little bit of adrenaline, but you don't want to have that where it's overcoming what you're, it's like that blackout where you just can't figure anything out. If that's what you feel, take some shares off, take some contracts off, take a step back and make sure you get comfortable, then progress. I always say something that a lot of new traders don't like to hear. Stock trading is almost like going to college. If you do 1 year of stock trading, you're a freshman in college. Doesn't it take 8 years to be a doctor, 8 years to be a lawyer, 8 years to be a lot of these, you know, prestigious jobs? I think stock trading, being a stockbroker, it working on Wall Street, that's a pretty prestigious job to me. Why are we opening up Robinhood accounts and thinking we're going to be able to do that job full-time successfully within 3 weeks? It makes no sense.
Yeah, so that's a great place for beginners to start. That's how mm-hmm. it's supposed to be. Everyone wants to get it easy, but was your journey like that? Was it, how far did you start go? And, you know, how did you start and grow from there?
Yeah, so I started back in college, and I had no money in college. Like, I was like that typical college kid, like just like a lot of us were, not much money whatsoever. I would call my mom sometimes, you know, let's say like 2-3 months in, be like, hey mom, can you deposit $500 so I could be able to get some groceries or whatnot? But I became obsessed with stock trading, and I wanted to learn how to stock trade. So my only option was to paper trade. I'm going to be very blunt, very transparent. If I had the money to stock trade right away, I probably would have. I probably would have just went and started trading real money right away, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. And I probably wouldn't be in this position now, because I would have probably lost all my money. I probably would have said to myself, man, this isn't for me. This is stupid. I'm done with this. I don't ever want to do this again. But the fact that I was forced to save up money to work another job and just paper trade, because I love stock trading so much, that it took me about 12 months of paper trading before I even had enough money to go to real cash. And by that time, I made mistakes. I know what worked. I know what didn't work. And then me going into real money, it was actually a much better blessing. It was a blessing in disguise to be able to have basically no money, do the right steps. And then once I actually had the funds, I was good to go from there. But paper trading was everything. It was so important. And that's why I want every single trader to be able to understand that, because I lost hundreds of thousands of dollars of fake money when I first started. Not real money. I don't have that to lose. But when I first started, it was all fake. And that was great, because I would say to myself, hey, if I can't grow this, how could I grow a real account? I think another big issue that a lot of paper traders have is the fact that they go ahead and paper trade $100,000 accounts, $200,000 accounts. And then when they start with their real money in real life, they start with $2,000. And they say, oh, why can't I grow this? It's like basically saying, oh, I want to become a basketball player, and you're practicing with like a beach volleyball. It's a completely different game going from $200,000 in your account to $2,000 in your account. You're going to trade different plays, different stocks, different shares, different sizes. It's a completely different world. So you have to be able to grow. Once you grow a paper trading account with your real life money to, let's say, $5,000 to $25,000, go to real money. But if you can't even accomplish that, why would you want to do it with real money just to end up losing it all?
Yeah, man. So paper to first account, what was it? How'd it go after that first 12 months paper trading?
So I started with around $2,300. Nice. Probably like month 13 of my stock trading career, started with $2,300. And after that first year of paper trading, I turned that $2,300 into $20,000. So nice. My first year, I was able to make like $17,300, you know, $18,000 roughly. I'm not going to sit here and say I turned $2,300 in 1 year and made $1 million. You know, it took time to be able to grow up the account. So first year was roughly, you know, $2,300 to $20,000. Then the next year after that was around $20,000 up towards around $75,000. And then we started getting into the six-figure years around year 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 2021 was my biggest year yet, $552,000. And the thing is, everything I do is live stream, because I know, you know, anyone that's just watching this for the first time, they're just saying to themselves, I don't know, did he really do that? Literally everything I do is live on TradeCaster. So anyone calls me out, we just, again, show the video, I show my P&Ls, everything along those lines. So that's another thing that's kind of going back to what we had before, is transparency. I see a lot of people post P&Ls or post, you know, just pictures of screenshots. How do we know if they're real? How do we know if they're not real? How do we know what we can actually believe on social media? Well, for sure. Do it live, show broker statements. And that's something that I always want to show.
So you haven't had a losing year since you started?
No, last year was slightly green. It was 2022 was the toughest year that I went through since the beginning. And I'm telling every single person that right now. 2022 was the toughest year I went through since my beginning of stock trading in 2013 or 2014. It was the year where the market fell almost 20%. Our normal strategies weren't working. Stocks weren't holding on up. You would think you would do one thing. It went the other way. It was a tough year. And you know, it went from having $552,000 one year to just trying to battle to stay green throughout 2022. So it was a very difficult time. And heading into 2023, it's still, again, difficult at times, but it's a little bit better right now. And that's what I like. But it's so wild to kind of think about how the market has changed so much ever since the pandemic. If you take a look on, let's say, a monthly chart on the S&P 500, it's just a slow and steady rise on up all the way up to 2020. So 2008, all the way up towards 2020, just a slow little ride on up. And then all of a sudden 2020 hits, straight down, straight up, straight back down. And it's like, whoa, let's get some stability around here, you know? So that's been kind of the craziest ride, you know, behind that, just going from learning. And then I did a lot of penny stocks. Penny stocks is what I love. But ever since the pandemic happened, a lot of people have been more focused on options and blue chips because the markets have been so volatile. Everyone can just basically play the S&P 500 almost as it is a penny stock. A lot of days we have $10 climbs or $15 drops. Today we had a $10 climb in the stock market. So you get a lot of movement. And before we wouldn't see as much crazy movement. There would still be good days, but a lot of penny stocks have just been a little bit slower because so many people have kind of shifted to options trading. And honestly, right now, what I see a lot of people doing is shifting to a lot of futures trading. Futures trading is almost like options trading, but there's no time decay or no PDT rule. So a lot of people are kind of moving into futures trading, which is something I want to learn and start getting into in the near future.
Yeah. Can you talk to me about, you said 500K in 2021.
Yeah.
2022 flat, let's say. Mm-hmm. Like you end the year flat, emotions, like how do you control, like how do you get over that like realization that you're not going to make 500K again? You know, that's not the norm and it may never be the norm for another couple of years. Like, what was that like?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's because I think every single stock trader can relate to this as well, where if you have been on a winning train, where you're saying to yourself, I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm winning, you feel invincible. You feel like you can close your eyes, click buy, and no matter what, you're going to come out a winner. And then you have this monster year to all of a sudden, whoa, I'm struggling. Some days are green, some days are red. It hits you with a reality check. Where all of a sudden, before it seemed like you could do anything you want and be successful, and now you have to be extremely disciplined. Now you have to say to yourself, oh, hey, this, I'm not making the same amount of money. Now you're asking yourself all these different questions and now emotions are getting involved. The number one rule in stock trading is don't get emotional, because once you start overthinking, you start hesitating on entries. And then now you have a bad entry and now you have FOMO, fear of missing out. And then you see a play happen and you say to yourself, man, I should have bought in. So you have all these things going on in your mind now. And that's the hardest thing to overcome, not the markets, but overcoming your self-doubt. Are you as confident? Is your strategy working? Now you're changing your strategy, trying to figure things on out. So that's probably one of the toughest things to be able to think about. And it really just comes down to, yes, having your good wins, having your good years is awesome. Being able to consistently be able to make over six figures every single year, day in, day out, year over year, and then all of a sudden being basically even throughout 2022, you start overthinking a lot. But you have to, again, just take a step back and then say to yourself, hey, you've been doing this for the last 9 years. You know how to trade. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. Sure, we had 2021 extremely bull market. But if you need to, go back down a smaller scale, just like we, let's say, build up our tolerance. If you all of a sudden start having these big wins or big losses and you start getting scared to trade or you don't want to trade anymore, go back down to smaller shares and rebuild that confidence on up. And that's what I did as we headed into 2023. I said to myself, hey, 2022 is tough for everyone. Why don't we start small? Let's go with smaller contracts, smaller shares, If I am, let's say, a little emotional, I won't have to be as emotional because now I can actually build up my tolerance and I'm more confident if I know that I can only lose a little. I can only win a little, but if I win 3 days in a row, let's add some more contracts. Then I win a month in a row, let's add some more contracts. And the next thing you know, I'm back to where I'm at. So now in 2023, I've had the last 8 days in a row green. And I feel great. I feel great with every single trade I'm taking. I'm feeling strong with every trade I'm taking. I'm feeling confident with the trades that I'm taking. And it's all because we've been able to build that back on up after the rough year that we just had. You know, the first month in January was excellent. February was excellent. And now March, you know, going absolutely excellent. So I'm really feeling good in 2023 now.
Yeah. So you had like huge wins and then it just stopped all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. You reduce down, you say, you position size, like trade size, and now, you know, you're still low, but you're just going to wait for that momentum, right? And scale into it.
Basically, yeah. You know, build that momentum on up. And then also, I would say 2022, another reason on why I struggled in 2022 was the pure fact that I had to relearn a new strategy. I was a penny stock trader. And as I said, penny stocks wasn't moving the way they were. I would wake up every single day, short penny stocks. That's where everyone, all discords, all social media, all Twitter, everyone was just talking about penny stocks, AMC, GameStop, meme stocks, all that stuff. But then we started moving into a lot more options and a lot more people started learning and teaching about options, and options was how to make money. And I had to essentially go back to scratch. I had to go back to A, where I'm not, you know, that perfect trader anymore. And now I have to make rookie mistakes. Now I have to, again, go through the troubles that every new trader does. But the thing is, now I have a little bit of an ego because I'm saying to myself, hey, I've been winning the last 8 years in a row. I'm not going back down to a small account. No, I know more than that. I know how to be better than that. But that's where you get disciplined. And that's when the stock market says, oh, if you're not going to learn the lessons, we're going to take your money away from you. And that's where I have my big wins and then my big losses. Then I get a couple big wins, then I get a couple big losses. And this is what 2022 was. Couple big wins, couple big losses. And that's where I'm just floating around that where I started. But now, after going through that last 12 months of up and down, up and down, up and down, now I've developed my own strategy with options. Now, again, I'm figuring out what works for myself. Now I'm saying to myself, hey, this is what I like. And for anyone that's listening to this, I apologize about my voice going out. I'm still like overcoming a cold. So bear with me. I apologize. But that's kind of where I'm at in 2023.
A pack-a-day smoker at this point.
Yeah, that's what I sound like, right? I sound like I rip cigs on it every single day occurrence.
On the stream, yeah. He's on the stream ripping cigs and dropping killer trades. So yeah, it's something to watch. It's another reason to go sign up for the free March live streams.
Hey, but maybe like a cigar every now and then when you're out playing some 18 holes with the boys, you know, shooting them low. But cigs aren't my thing.
You got a killer swing.
Hey, man, we just got to, all people care about is how far you can drive. Hey, at the end of the day, if you shoot over a 100, that's okay. As long as I put one long bomb on the fairway, I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, and then you get pissed off and you four putt it.
Hey, I know that way too well.
Yeah, so option trading was last year for the first time. Mm-hmm. Penny stocks, seems like you made a lot of money shorting tops. Is there like a strategy to that? Are you just like using RSI or supply and demand, like using volume? Like, is that all you do, is you short penny stock tops?
Yeah. So that's like my first 9 years of stock trading. That's all I did, was just, let's think about it in this manner. Penny stocks, they're not good companies. You know that. I know that. We all know that. The reason why penny stocks spike is because they come out with some sort of press release. That a low float stock that comes out with a press release, everyone buys it on up. Different discords buy it up. People pump it up on the internet. It just goes up, 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 up. And 99% of new traders, they try to buy it as it already spiked up 100, 200, 300%. And that's why it dumps on them, because they already buy too late and everyone seems to lose. So what I said to myself is, these aren't good penny, these aren't good stocks. They're only up on momentum. If you just wait until like lunch hours, you could just short the top gainers nearly every single day and they just come crashing on down. Sure, there will be one to two that get like a continuation play. There will be one to two that get, you know, a bigger spike than expected. That will happen. But if you wake up every day, see a 300% top gainer, everyone just locks in their profits eventually and momentum leaves it and everyone goes to something else. You could literally wake up every day, look for the stock that's gapping up the highest, lowest float stock. It'll spike the first 30 minutes. People take their profits and it dumps on off. And it's just like clockwork. You can do it over and over and over again.
So are you going to cash at the end of the day or do you try to swing some of these overnight?
I used to do a lot more swings than I do now. And maybe it's because I'm still newer in the options world.
For shorting penny stocks, like
stocks. So the big issue with shorting is what? Numbers could go up forever. So you could technically have infinitive losses. So that's the scary thing about shorting overnight. And that's always kind of scared me. Always like having control of my plays. And you know, some people may say, what do you mean by control? And when it's 8 o'clock at night and after hours closes, you can't do anything. You sit there, you're staring up at the ceiling, laying in bed, just waiting until pre-market comes. And you're just saying, please just gap down. I work from 7 in the morning till usually 7 at night, every single day, either live streaming, helping out traders, answering questions. The last thing I want to do is when it comes to 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, is for me to be stressing about a stock trade. I like to sit back, relax, just be able to take a couple minutes to myself before I wake up and have to do it all over again. I don't want to have that like anxiety overnight.
Yeah. Mental capital is the most important capital.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But like I got like LPSN, it's down 60% today. Like you think there's really not any penny stock like plays anymore? It's like it seems like there's still things running up 100% and dropping 50%. Like
there is still going to be some plays that you know get some rips and runs. Like if you're in front of your computer right here, you can take a look over on like CRBP. CRBP was technically the number one best penny stock today, where it ran up 97%. So there is a good chance that CRBP could turn into a very nice dump coming on up. But there's also something that you need to remember on these type of plays. The quicker and the faster they go up, the quicker and the faster they come crashing on down. CRBP, it's kind of been slowly working its way up throughout the day. So that really wouldn't be a good short candidate to me. So while there are still some plays that are up, let's say 80% or so, I'm looking for plays that basically go up 80% within 10 minutes and then crash back on down, because as fast as you go up is usually as fast as you go on down. If you have a stock that's just slowly working its way up over an 8 hour span, they don't get the same kind of dump and reaction as before. So I think a lot of penny stocks will come back and we'll see a lot of hype and we'll see a lot of momentum and we'll see a lot of ripping again in the future. But as long as this market is staying as hot as it is, it's going to be kind of difficult to be able to be focusing more on penny stocks and blue chips. I mean, we have so much coming on up. We have banks are starting to collapse at this moment. We're having interest rates that are said they're going to be paused, or if they're not, the thing is, you got to think about this situation right now. I talked to our members about this today, where I don't know when this exactly is going to be posted, but next week, March 22nd, the Federal Reserve is going to have to come out and make one of the toughest decisions possible. It's going to be a lose-lose situation for the Federal Reserve when you think about it. They're either going to raise rates and then banks are going to get collapsed even more, or they're going to pause rates and then inflation's going to go on up, which had already started to go up from their last 0.25 rate hikes, save banks momentarily, but then we're going to have to raise interest rates even more than expected down the road. So we can either save banks for a moment, lead towards a temporary pop just to do interest rate hikes throughout 2023, or we can stay on track and hopefully banks don't fall as much as we want. I don't have the answers. I'm not part of the Federal Reserve, but what I can tell you, it's a lose-lose regardless, you know?
Man, they're thinking about cutting rates because the dominoes are falling and they need to stop them from falling at this point. So
I know, but if we pause rates, inflation is just going to go right back on up. And imagine all the work we did in 2022. So we already saw in the last CPI report just on Monday or Tuesday, excuse me, that CPI has risen 0.4%. And that's after doing 7 rate hikes throughout of 2022. And now it's already starting to rise. Imagine if we pause interest rates, it's like basically all that work we got to redo it now this entire year. It's gonna lead towards even, I think, a bigger drop. So I'm excited to see what comes on up on Wednesday. I'm excited what Jerome Powell picks, what he goes for. It's going to be interesting. And there's going to be a lot of wild volatility in the market, which is, again, why option trading is kind of very big at this moment. But the big thing about option trading is time decay. No one likes time decay. And that's probably the toughest thing to overcome in options trading, which is why we talked about before, why a lot of people are looking at futures trading. And instead of just trading SPY, they're just trading ES, and they're just basically going off the S&P 500, but just marking it on ES. And now there's no PDT rule in futures. There's no time decay, but you can make just as much money. So that's something that a lot of people are starting to shift to.
So are you full options now? Are you ever going to go back to penny stocks? Are you flipping the futures soon?
I would love to go back to penny stocks. I know, because I'll be, you know, honest with you. I make more money trading penny stocks. I've had more success in time trading penny stocks. And the thing is, 2021 or 2022, excuse me, that was the year of me learning options. So I'm very excited and I'm very optimistic about my future, because so far 2023 has been great with, again, my options trading. But at the same time, I know that my penny stock strategy works, but I need to adapt. I need to, again, basically, we're like an animal out in nature. And guess what? I need to adapt to this new environment. So penny stocks aren't doing it right now. Option trading is what's doing it. I had to take about 6 months to a year to be able to figure out how options work. I've been able to do that. Was able to, again, lose some money, win some money, but nothing big. And then now, again, it is starting to work. But now people are saying, hey, let's go over to futures trading. So I don't want to go through a whole year of, again, learning futures right now. But I'm excited.
Like you said, stock closes at 8. Futures don't close, man. That crushed me. I never slept for like the whole futures. I need that close too. I'm right there.
I have too many friends that are, you know, traders like that, who they just never stop staring at their computer. They're just always staring at they have a problem. Okay. There's people out there that have the problem. 24 hours. Hey, 4 o'clock hits. Whew, you know, it lets me know, hey, the day's over. I'm good. You know, but
can you imagine checking your phone like right before you go to bed and seeing a setup like on futures and like getting the urge to trade right before bed? Like it's not healthy. But going back to what you said, options, you're sticking to it. Can you define like your option strategy in like two sentences? Like, is it scalping 0 days off bids, or because
So honestly, all I look for is strong support from previous history, strong resistance from previous history. I bounce at support. I do put contracts at resistance. I do the same expiration date on SPX. That's the ETF I trade. And I do it slightly out of the money. Same day expiration, I'm going to have cheap contracts. It's going to be able to pay a lot of money. Having slightly out of the money, cheap contracts, going to pay a lot of money. And being able to get in at predictable, safe areas. We already have, let's say, riskier contracts. The last thing we need to do is make risky setups now. We have riskier contracts that pay high, that are going to be cheap. Let's just buy at support, sell at resistance, find simple channel patterns that we know we're going to win 9, 8 out of 10 times. And if it goes against us, we have stop losses right underneath it. So I might set up a stop loss that I lose 2%. But my winning trades, I win 10%, 20%. I lose 3%. My winning trades, I win 15, 20%. So even if I lose 3 times in a row, one trade, I make it all back plus a little bit. So I just really, with my option trading throughout 2023, has stayed extremely disciplined.
Yeah, that's super tight, man. That's like 1 minute of time decay is like 2% sometimes.
Sometimes, absolutely. That's why I like trading SPX, just because of the volatility on it. You know, it's just such a fast moving ETF. You can just make so much money so quickly. But at the other hand, you can also lose money very quickly. And that's the tough thing about option trading, that as a new trader, you must understand that a lot of new traders don't get. Not only if you're a new trader and you say to yourself, oh, the stock's going against me, I can lose money, but the stock goes against you, you lose money. And then time decay goes by, you lose even more money. So it's just like a constant lose money, lose money, lose money. And that's where, again, people find themselves in very tough habits, because as an option trader, you need to be correct. You need to be able to nail bounces, nail resistance, nail call contracts, because you're fighting time decay and obviously the normal just stock movement.
Yeah. So on this podcast, I've had six people. I think five out of six were traders with options and stocks, and they all gravitated towards option selling. So I'm going to bet in 3 years, you're going to be selling options, if not next year.
Maybe. I'm excited.
I have an 85% win rate with my option selling strategies, but like scalping, I have like 65, 70. It's a lot lower, but selling an option, there's no better feeling than putting it in and just doing nothing and just seeing profits just roll and roll.
I mean, that's stock trading though. Basically, when we think about it, what are we doing? We're clicking buttons. You know, to me, stock trading, it's like an adult video game. People, again, you know, I have a lot of friends. I'm 29. I'm not sure how old are you. How old are you?
I'm 30.
30. So you like, even now, I have a lot of friends that still play Fortnite and or play like Apex or Call of Duty. And hey, I don't mind that every now and then. It's a fun time. But so many people invest so much time to what, you know, win a skin, you know, get like a new customer, like outfit or whatever. It's like, what are we doing here? We could literally put in that time and just be able to make money instead. Instead of getting these little fake gold coins, we could literally make real money. The stock market to me is like the best video game of all time.
Yeah, I got a good question for you. So past 8 years, you probably made a mil, let's say. Like, how do you allocate that to set yourself up for financial success in the future?
So what
I know you just bought an investment property. You sold your Lambo.
Yeah. I sold that. That hurt a little bit. Sold the Lambo. But so really the best thing to do, and it's very tough. It's very tough to be able to kind of do it in the moment, is to be financially smart. And what do I mean by be financially smart? Once you start making money in stock trading, making money in business, making money in options trading, making money in anything, you obviously want to buy that car that you always wanted. You want to go on that trip you always wanted. You want to go on out and all of a sudden spoil your friends, spoil your girlfriend, spoil your family. And that's all great things. And you should be able to have the right to be able to do that. But next thing you know is you turn, let's say, $2,000 to $200,000. And you do all of this, and now you're back down to $40,000. And you're saying, where did all my money just go? Everything's gone. So that's something that when I first started, I, again, was trading. Eventually that $2,000, I got that $2,000 up to $500,000. And then I bought my first dream car ever. I bought a McLaren. And that McLaren wiped out tons of my bank account, like, you know, 3/4 of my bank account. And I had the car and it was awesome and it was a lot of fun. But then I just like thought to myself, I was like, man, I don't have any money. You know, I don't have like, so I eventually sold it. And then I started really thinking from there, hey, let me have many different accounts. So for me in my life, I have multiple different bank accounts. And when I trade, when I have business, when I do whatever, I always try to break it down in a percentage and say to myself, hey, this 5% goes to my fun account. When my fun account gets to, again, a certain area that I can go on a trip or buy a car or do whatever, that's great. This 30% is going to go to bills, going to go to taxes. This, again, other 25% is going to go to groceries, is going to go to whatever. So I like to break this down. Then on this is going to retirement. This is going to 401k. I like to have everything managed out so that I don't make that mistake that I first made when I started. That mistake of, hey, I have money. Let me all blow it up on one thing, because then you don't have, and then you're essentially back to where you started at. So you got to sell that item and you get less than what you paid for it. And that's just, you know, not what you want to go through. So break it down, write out what you need in life, write out, hey, here's my retirement. Here's my fun money, smallest percent. Here's my bills. Here's my taxes. Here's my full-time living. Here's whatever it may be. Write everything out. And give yourself, again, different percentages on what's actually important and what's not as important. And that's been able to, again, last me, or that's what I've been doing now for probably the last 5-6 years, that has been able to set me up with much better financial security. Now, what I've been really working towards, as you know, you brought up before, is I bought my home and I bought my home that I live in now, which is awesome. And I've been saving up. And I finally was able to just purchase an investment property. And that investment property is projected. So let's talk about that here for a second. That is projected to be able to bring in roughly around $200,000 a year. Now I have a mortgage, and that mortgage is going to be roughly around $75,000 a year. Not only that, I also have to pay my property management team to around 20% of whatever I make. So at the end of everything, and now let's throw out miscellaneous expenses, you know, because that is obviously going to occur. Out of everything, I'm going to be able to still probably be able to bring in roughly around, profit-wise, I would probably say around $20,000 or so after everything, okay? $20,000 to $25,000. Now, some people may say to themselves, what the heck? Why would you, again, spend a ton of money to just have an investment of only $20,000 in profit? Got $20,000 profit, and now, again, I'm owning a home absolutely for free, $20,000 in profit that's paying off my mortgage. Renters are paying this off. And when my mortgage ends, I have a completely free home. This house, this in this beautiful location, I don't have to do anything other than put this down deposit down, which I've done. And while I'm not going to become a millionaire from this one deposit, it's an appreciating asset. It's an appreciating asset that renters are paying off the mortgage, that I'm still profiting $20,000 a year from. And after, again, 25 years, now I have this home that's $1.5 million as of now. It's probably going to be $2.5 million. So 20 years of making $20,000 a year, we could do the math there. That's like, what, I don't know, 400,000. Then on top of that, I don't even know if that, no, that's like 200,000. And then after that, we have this, you know, asset at the end, which is absolutely great. So I wasn't getting any of that with a car. I wasn't getting any of that whatsoever with the Lambo. At the Lambo, I was paying insurance. I was paying gas. I was paying for, you're losing money every single time you drive it a mile. So I love the fact, and I've kind of become obsessed with trying to trade, make profits, put them towards, again, real estate, have renters, again, pay that off. You are not going to become a multimillionaire just by doing Airbnb unless you fully own the house. But you know what? Let's try to put down as many different deposits for a future, for our investments. These are going to be long-term investments. And if we just imagine if we could get 2, 3, 4 of these investments, in 20 years from now, we own the houses fully, and we're getting that $200K per year. If we have that property management team taking 20% with some miscellaneous expenses, we're still bringing in like 140, 150 a year from literally doing nothing. So it's just setting up a future. And that's why, you know, by the time I'm 45, I want to have 3, 4 houses paid off for generating $600,000 without really doing anything. Like, that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah. And that's everything, like, I think people are missing. It's huge. But there's one thing I didn't realize that you didn't say, but is incredible. Like you said, the appreciation of the house happens, but the appreciation of the rental income is something I never factored in. But what you're making now, double that in 5-7 years. Yeah. And that doubles every 5-7 years. And you'll be crushing your investment properties by then.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a huge point as well. So, that's like the hardest thing I would say as well, is just being able to get that initial down deposit for the house. That's the toughest thing. You know, it's hard to be able to say, oh yeah, I want this $1 million house on the beach, but I need $200,000 to put down. So I put down 20%. So really, we got to trade to that 200,000. Then we got that. Then the journey starts all over again. So that's like, that's the grind. The grind is we trade to get those down deposits, essentially.
Yeah. And like, when you do the math now with the high interest rate, a property that's not making money, you can refinance in the future. Rental rates go up. So it'll easily be profitable in the future. I think people do math now and they just factor a lot of properties out. But if you're in a high appreciating state, like I'm in Colorado, it's 5-7% a year, maybe 10. It's going to be profitable one day. So
no, absolutely.
If it doesn't make sense now,
you're absolutely correct. I mean, my Airbnb that I just bought, neighboring Park City, Utah.
Huge. That's a good place, man. Mm-hmm. And so do you have a portion of your income that's going to go into properties every year? Like, are you going to buy one a year or two a year? What's your goal?
That's my goal. But the thing is, like, for myself, and anyone could have their own strategy. For myself, I like buying personally in nicer areas, like Park City, Utah. Everything there, every single house is at least a mil, like every single house there. I don't personally want to do an Airbnb in, let's say, a neighborhood where it's not very nice, because I know the majority of it, number one, if I don't live in that state, I want to know that it's in a nice area, in a nice neighborhood where I'm not going to have to stress overnight. Number two, a lot of nice areas are going to get flooded and be able to, people are going to visit there and have tourists, and it's always going to be busy. It's also going to be able to grow. And again, those homes are going to appreciate. So for me, I again am going towards more of, it's going to take longer, it's going to be harder work, but I would rather always buy in a nicer area. If that's, let's say, somewhere nicer in Florida or somewhere nicer in the mountains, because I want to be in those neighborhoods that I know that everything's safe and that people want to go to. I don't want to just say, oh, I need to buy a place a year and then put, you know, $20,000 down on a place that I'm a little unsure of and I'm a little nervous of. And sometimes, again, people may say, well, hey, put it down and that's going to turn into a great area. Let's put it down in Camden, New Jersey. It's going to be the next, again, you know, beautiful area. That's a little bit of a tough bargain to, you know, to win right there. You know, that's a little bit of a gamble right there. So it's just, it's a little tough, you know, and you could do any strategy you want, but I would rather kind of go with, you know, a little bit of nicer area, but obviously it's more expensive and it takes longer to get that down deposit down.
Yeah, I love that. So you're saying one a year, great area is your goal?
That would be a great goal. One a year, nice. Next again, like 4 years straight. But it all depends on what the market does. It all depends on how I'm trading. If it's how I was trading in 2022, might be again 2 a year. I mean, it might be again, it might have to take like 2 years to get there, you know, we'll see. But
But
2021, so, when I had that great year, you know, that's awesome. You know, so it just all depends on the market and what the market's able to bring us. But that's the fun thing about the market. Some days are great, some days are, you know, bad. So you never know what you're going to wake up to. And that's why I always wake up excited.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a great positive attitude. You love what you do, and that really just sets yourself up to succeed. And I'll ask a couple last questions and then we'll close it down. But one fun question I like to ask is, if I give you $1 million, which I'm not going to do, but what three stocks would you put it in?
Three stocks. I would probably say, number one, my favorite long-term investment as of now is NVDA, NVIDIA. I think they're huge. I think they're going to be ginormous. Yeah. They are, just for technology, on how fast technology is advancing. NVDA supplies the program chips. They are one of the top chip makers in the United States. They have a hand in everything. So NVDA, if you want to talk about virtual reality, if you want to talk about artificial intelligence, if you want to talk about the metaverse, like that Facebook's making, if you want to think about Tesla models and having, again, you know, all these chips, and they all go through NVDA. That's one of my favorite long-term investments. Also, if you're talking about, let's say, blue chips, you know, still kind of sticking with some of these bigger plays, I am a big fan of Amazon. Amazon is huge, and I think it's only going to get bigger. When was the last time I can't remember the last time I went to a mall to buy something. And I remember being a kid to buy something, going to the mall, and it was a huge deal. But the thing is, now I just order it online, it comes to my door. And as generations get older and older and older, and new generations come on up, the thing is, I really think the only actual physical locations that are going to be able to thrive are going to be restaurants and gyms. Like that's, I don't really think people are going to stores anymore and saying, oh, I need to go out and go to the store. We're going to have grocery stores, we're going to have restaurants, and we're going to have gyms. And that's literally going to be nearly like every single building location out there, because that's the only thing that people would want to go out for. A lot of even office buildings. We know a lot of people like to work from home nowadays. So do we need, again, all these random strip malls? No. Do we need a big, huge mall? Other than maybe being like, hey, what do you want to do on a Saturday? You want to go walk around the mall? We haven't done that in, you know, a year. Then maybe that could be a fun like date you could do, but it's not like going to be profitable. So I'd probably say NVDA, Amazon. And I mean, whatever you got left over, nothing wrong with throwing it over an Apple.
Those are great picks, honestly. Yeah, some of the best I've heard on the podcast. And any last advice, like words you want to leave before we pop off?
I would probably just say to new traders, you know, starting off their trading career, is give yourself time. Understand that you are going to have to get through the walls that every single stock trader that is successful has gone through. You have to understand that if you want to be able to be a millionaire, you are going to have to give out a millionaire ethic, a millionaire workout. We all want to become again millionaires, but we want to do the bare minimum. For me, when I crossed my first $1 million, I was how old? 24 years old when I first crossed my first $1 million. And the thing was, that did not happen overnight. That was literally me starting at the age of 19 and working for 5 days or 5 years straight, literally obsessed with stock trading, where I would study paper trade, watch videos. I loved it and I still do love it. But a lot of people, again, download an app and trade for an hour and that's it. Take notes, work hard. You will be paid in this game on how hard you work. And think of your stock trading as basically running a business. If you started a business and you gave it an hour of the day, would your business survive? No, you're working an hour a day. If you give it 12 hours a day, your business is probably going to be very successful. So it just comes on out to that.
Yeah, there's so much wisdom you've dropped today. So we're truly grateful. And thanks again for popping on our podcast, Sean.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Again, I'm live every single day on tradecaster.com. And every single person in March, absolutely free. And even non-March, it's a free 7 days. So everyone can come on over, check it on out. Free 7 days. Love to be able to, again, you know, work with you.
Yeah, I'll drop those links, all the descriptions, and you can check them out.
Cool. Hey, thank you so much.
No problem.